I walk out the front door of the office of the Ask, down the little path and out the front gate, where it's almost peaceful. And there's Angharad. Davy must have brought her. "Hey, girl," I say, coming up on her slow, rubbing her nose.
"Boy Colt?"
says her noise.
"Todd?"
"It's all right, girl," I whisper. "It's all right."
"Hurt,"
she says, sniffing at the dried blood still on my face. She takes her big wet tongue and gives me the sloppiest lick right across my mouth and cheek. I laugh a little and rub her nose again.
"I'm okay, girl. I'm okay."
Her noise keeps saying my name.
"Todd. Todd."
As I move to where my bag is still tied to the saddle. My rifle's still there. So's my ma's book. I'll bet Davy brought that, too.
I untie Angharad's reins from the post and lead her out onto the road a little bit till she's pointing right at the gate with the big silver A.
"Gotta give a little speech," I say, tightening the saddle. "Better from up top of you."
"Boy Colt," she says.
"Todd."
"Angharad," I say.
I put my foot in the stirrup, hop up and swing my leg round till I'm sitting in the saddle, looking up at the sky. It's not darkening yet, but the sun's getting down toward the falls. Afternoon is ticking away. There ain't much time. "Wish me luck," I say.
"Forward," Angharad whinnies.
"Forward."
The guards look up at me and back to Ivan, who's trying to get him to stop talking, which would only help if they shut up the clatter of their noise, too, because it's wailing like sheep on fire.
"He's a lieutenant," Ivan's saying to him.
"He's a boy," another guard says, one with ginger hair.
"He's the president's boy," Ivan responds.
"Yeah, and you were supposed to take him to town, private,"
says another with a big pot belly and corporal stripes on his sleeve.
"Don't tell me you're disobeying a direct order."
"The lieutenant gave me a different direct order," Ivan says.
"And he overrules the president, does he?" says Ginger Hair.
"Come on," Ivan shouts. "How many of you got this assignment as punishment for something?"
That quiets him.
"You're an idiot if you think I'm following a boy to face the president," says Corporal Potbelly.
"Prentice knows stuff," says Ginger Hair. "Stuff he shouldn't."
"He'd have a shot," says another soldier,
a tall one this time with sallow skin.
"By who?" says Ivan. "The army's all off fighting the war while the president sits in his blown-up cathedral awaiting for me to show up with Todd here."
"What's he doing there?" asks Ginger Hair. "Why ain't he with the army?" "Ain't his style," I say. They all look up at me again. "The mayor don't fight. He rules. He leads. But he don't pull no triggers. And he don't get his hands dirty."
Angharad feels my nervousness and steps a little to one side.
"He gets other people to do it for him. Plus," I try to hide in my noise, "he wants to talk to me." Which, in a way, feels worse than war.
"And you're gonna overthrow him, are you?"
asks the corporal, crossing his arms.
"He's just a man," I say. "A man can be defeated."
"He's more than a man," Ginger Hair says. "People say he uses his noise as a weapon."
"And if you get too close to him, he can control your mind," says Sallow Skin. Ivan scoffs. "That's all just grandmother's tales. He can't do nothing of the sort."
"Yes, he can," I say, and once again, all eyes turn on me. "He can hit you with his noise, and it hurts like hell. He can look into your mind and try to force you to do and say the stuff he wants."
"Yeah, he can do all that."
They're staring at me now, wondering when I'm going to get to the part that's helpful. But I think he's got to make eye contact to do it.
"You think?"
says Ginger Hair. "And the noise hit ain't fatal, and he can only do it to one person at a time. He can't beat all of us, not if we all come at once." But I'm also hiding in my noise how much stronger it was when he hit me in the arena just now. How much more potent. He's been working on it, sharpening his weapons.
"Don't matter,"
says Sallow Skin.
He'll have his own guards. We'd be walking right into our deaths.
He'll be expecting you to escort me, I say. We can walk right past the guards to where he's waiting.
And why should we follow you, Lieutenant?
Asks the corporal, getting sarcastic on my rank.
What's in it for us?
Freedom from tyranny,
Ivan says. The corporal rolls his eyes. He ain't the only one. Ivan tries again.
Because as soon as he's gone, we take over.
Less eye-rolling this time, but Sallow Skin says,
Anyone want to be ruled by President Ivan Farrow?
He says it to get a laugh, but it don't get any.
What about President Hewitt?
Ivan says, looking up at me with a weird glint in his eye. Corporal Potbelly scoffs and says again,
He's a boy!
I'm not, I say. Not no more.
He's the only one a-willing to go after the president,
Ivan says.
That speaks for something.
The guards look from one to another. I can hear all the askings in their noise, all the doubts rattling around, all the fears confirming one another, and in their noise I hear the idea being defeated. But in their noise, I also hear how it can be saved. If you help me, I say, I'll get you the cure. They all shut right up.
You can do that?
Ginger Hair asks.
Nah, says the corporal. He's bluffing.
It's stockpiled in the cellars of the cathedral, I say. I saw the mayor put it there himself.
Why do you keep calling him the mayor?
Sallow Skin asks. You come with me, I say. You help me take him prisoner, and every man here gets all the cure he can carry. They're listening to me now. It's about ruddy time Haven became Haven again.
He's taken it from the entire army,
Ivan says.
We bring down the president, give him the cure, and who do you think they'll start a-listening to?
It won't be you, Ivan.
No,
says Ivan, giving me that look again.
But it could be him.
The men look up at me, up on top of Angharad, with my rifle and my dusty uniform and my idea and my promises, and there's a rustle through their noise as each man asks himself, is he desperate enough to take the chance? I think of Viola, sitting in the arena, sitting there as everything I want to save, everything I'd do anything for. I think of her and I know exactly how to convince him. All the women are banded, I say. Who do you think's gonna be next? Lee's pulling the last bandages around Viola's feet when I come back in, and her face is looking way less pained. Can you stand? I ask.
Only a little.
Don't matter, I say. Angharad's outside. She'll take you and Lee to find the answer.
What about you?
Viola says, sitting up. I'm gonna face him, I say. I'm gonna take him down. She really sits up at that. I'm coming with you, Lee says instantly. No, you're not, I say. You're telling the answer to call off their attack, and you're telling them just how Mistress Coyle works. Lee's mouth sets firm, but I can see his noise roiling in anger over the bomb. He would have died too. Viola says you can't kill. I send her a dirty look. She's got the good grace to look away. I'm gonna kill him, Lee says. I'm gonna kill him for what he did to my sister and mother. If you don't warn the answer, I say, there'll be a lot more dead people to make him pay for.
He can have Mistress Coyle,
Lee says, but I can already see other people churning in his noise. Wilf and Jane, and other men and other women, and Viola, and Viola, and Viola, and Viola.
What are you going to do, Todd?
She asks.
You can't just face him one-on-one.
It won't be one-on-one, I say. I got some of the guards to come with me. Her eyes open wide.
You what?
I smile. Got me a little mutiny going.
How many?
Lee asks, his face still serious. I hesitate.
Seven, I say.
I couldn't get them all to agree.
Viola's face drops.
You're going to fight the mayor with 7 men?
It's a chance, I say. Most of the army's off marching to their final battle. The mayor's waiting for me. It's the least guarded he's ever gonna be.
She watches me for a second. Then she puts one hand on Lee's shoulder and one hand on mine and lifts herself to her feet. I can see her catch herself at the pain, but Lee's wound the bandages tight, and even if they ain't bone fixers, then at least they let her stand for a second or two.
I'm coming with you, she says.
No, you're not. I say at the same time Lee yells, not a chance!
She sets her jaw.
And what makes either of you think you have a say in the matter?
You can't walk, I say.
You have a horse, she says.
It's your chance to get safe, I say.
He's expecting both of us, Todd. You walk in there without me, your plan is over before you even speak.
I put my hands on my hips. You said yourself the mayor will use you against me if he gets the chance.
She grimaces as she tests the weight on her ankle.
Then your plan had better work, hadn't it?
Viola, Lee starts, but she stops him with a look.
Find the answer, Lee. Warn them. You haven't got much time, but go, she says again more firmly.
And we both see her rise in his noise. We both feel how much he don't want to leave her.
It's so strong, I have to look away from him.
But it sort of makes me want to hit him, too.
I'm not leaving, Todd, she says. Not now that I've found him again. I'm sorry, Lee, but that's the way it is.
Lee takes a step back, unable to keep the hurt out of his noise. Viola's voice softens.
I'm sorry, she says again.
Viola, Lee says. But she's shaking her head.
The mayor thinks he knows everything. He thinks he knows what's coming. He's just sitting there waiting for me and Todd to show up and try and stop him.
Lee tries to interrupt, but she don't let him.
But what he's forgetting, she says, what he's forgetting is that me and Todd, we ran halfway across this planet together, by ourselves. We beat his craziest preacher. We outran an entire army and survived being shot and beaten and chased, and we bloody well stayed alive this whole time without being blown up or tortured to death or dying in battle or anything.
She takes her hand off Lee, so she's balancing just against me.
Me and Todd? Together against the mayor?
She smiles.
He doesn't stand a chance.
38. March to the cathedral.
Did you mean what you said in there?
Todd says, pulling the strap on the saddle. His voice is low and he's keeping his eyes on the horsework.
About him not standing a chance against us?
I shrug. It helped, didn't it? He smiles to himself.
I gotta go talk to the men.
He nods over to Lee, standing away from us, hands in his pockets, watching us chat.
You try and make this easy on him, okay?
He gives Lee a wave and goes to where our escort of 7 soldiers stands huddled by the big stone gate. Lee comes over.
Are you sure about this?
He says.
No,
I say. But I'm sure of Todd. He breathes out through his nose, looking at the ground, trying to keep his noise flat.
You love him,
he says. Not an asking, just a fact. I do, I say. Also a fact.
In that way.
We both look over at Todd. He's gesturing with his arms and telling the men what we're planning and what they should do. He's looking like a leader.
Viola?
Lee asks. I turn back to him. You need to find the answer before the army does, Lee, if you can at all. He frowns.
They may not believe me about Mistress Coyle. A lot of people need her to be right.
Well, I say, gently taking up the reins of the horse.
"Boy colt," she thinks, watching Todd, too.
"Think of it this way. If you can reach them and we can take care of the mare, this could all be over today." Lee squints into the sun.
"And if you don't take care of him?"
I try to smile. "Well, then you're just gonna have to come rescue us, aren't you?" He tries to smile back.
"We're ready,"
Todd says, coming back over. "This is it," I say. Todd holds out his hand to Lee.
"Good luck."
Lee takes his hand.
"And to you,"
he says. But he's looking at me. After Lee's set off into the woods, running to scale the hills and intercept the answer before the army does, the rest of us start our march down the road. Todd leads Angharad, who keeps saying, "Boy colt," over and over again in her noise, nervous at someone new on her back. Todd murmurs things to keep her calm, rubbing her nose and petting her flank as we go.
"How do you feel?"
he asks me as we approach the first set of dormitories. "My feet hurt," I say. "My head, too." I rub my hand on my sleeve where the band is hiding. And my arm.
"Other than that?"
He smiles. I look at the guards around us, marching in formation, as if they really are escorting me and Todd to the mayor as ordered. Ivan and another in front, two behind, two to my right, and the last to my left. "Do you believe we can beat him?" I ask Todd.
"Well,"
he says and laughs, low.
"We're going, ain't we?"
We're going. Up the road and into New Prentice Town.
"Let's pick it up,"
Todd says, a bit louder. The men pick up the pace. "It's deserted," whispers the guard with flaming red hair as we pass through areas with more and more buildings. Buildings, but no people.
"Not deserted,"
another guard says, one with a big belly poking out in front of him.
"In hiding."
"It's spooky without the army," the red-haired one says. "Without soldiers marching up and down the street."
"We're marching, Private,"
Ivan says.
"We're soldiers, too."
We pass houses with shutters closed tight, storefronts with locked shutters, roads with no carts or fission bikes or even people walking. You can hear the roar from behind closed doors, but it's half the volume. And it's scared.
"They know it's coming,"
Todd says.
"They know this could be the war they've been waiting for."
I look around from atop Angharad. No homes have any lights on. No faces peep out of windows, no one even curious as to what this band of guards is doing around a horse carrying a girl with bandaged feet. And then the road bends, and there's the cathedral.
"Holy moly,"
says the red-haired guard as we come to a stop.
"You lived through that?"
the potbelly says to Todd. He whistles in appreciation.
"Maybe you are a bit blessed."
The bell tower still stands, though it's hard to see how, teetering on top of an unsteady ladder of bricks. Two walls of the main building stand, too, including the one with the colored glass circle. But the rest of it... the rest of it's just a pile of stone and dust. Even from behind, you can see that most of the roof has caved in, and the largest parts of two walls have been blown out onto the road and the square in front of it. Arches lean dangerously out of balance. Doors are twisted off their hinges, and most of the inside lies open to the world, receiving the last of the sun as it heads down to the horizon. And there's not one soldier guarding it.
"He's unprotected?"
says the red-haired one.
"That sounds like something he'd do,"
Todd says, staring at the cathedral as if he can see the mayor somewhere through the walls.
"If he's even inside,"
Ivan says.
"He is,"
Todd says.
"Trust me."
The red-haired soldier starts backing away down the road.
No way, he says. We're walking to our deaths here, boys, no way!
And with a final frightened look, he takes off running back the way we came. Todd sighs.
Anyone else?
The men look to each other, their noises wondering why they came in the first place.
He'll put the band on you,
Ivan says. He nods up at me. I pull up my sleeve and show them. The skin is still red and hot to the touch. Infection, I think. The first aid creams aren't doing what they're supposed to.
And then he'll enslave you,
Ivan continues.
I don't know about you, but that's not why I joined the army.
Why did you join?
Asks another guard, but it's clear he doesn't want an answer.
We take him down,
Ivan says,
and we're heroes.
Heroes with the cure,
says the potbelly, nodding.
And he who controls the cure.
Enough talking,
Todd says, and I hear the discomfort in his noise about how this is going.
Are we gonna do this or not?
The men look to one another, and Todd raises his voice. Raises it so it commands. Raises it so even I look at him.
I said, are we ready?
Yes, sir,
the men say, seeming almost surprised to hear it coming out of their mouths.
Then let's go,
Todd says. And the men start marching again, step, 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 crunching through the loose gravel scattered across the road, down a small slope, through the town and toward the cathedral, getting bigger and bigger the closer we get. We file past some trees and I look to our left, to the hills on the southern horizon.
Sweet Jesus,
Potbelly says. Even from here you can see the army marching in the distance, a single black arm twisting up a path too narrow for them, up to the summit of the hill with the notch on top, up to where they'll meet the answer. I look at the setting sun.
Maybe an hour,
Todd says, seeing me check.
Probably less.
Lee won't get to them in time, I say.
He might. There must be shortcuts.
The snake of the army slithers up the hillside. So many, there's no way the answer will be able to fight them if it comes to open battle. We can't fail, I say.
We won't,
Todd says. And we reach the cathedral. We march up the side. This is where most of the damage is, the whole north wall having collapsed straight onto the road.
Remember,
Todd murmurs to the men as we climb over rubble.
You're taking two prisoners to see the president like you were ordered to do. Nobody needs to be thinking nothing but that.
We pick our way down the road. The pile of stones is so high you can't see into the cathedral. The mayor could be in there anywhere. We come around the corner to where the front used to be, now just a gaping hole into the vast lobby and sanctuary, still watched over by the bell tower and by that circle of colored glass. The sun, behind us, shines right into it. Open rooms hang from upper walls, their floors crumbling. Half a dozen redbirds pick through the remains of food and worse in amongst the stones. The rest of the structure leans in on itself, like it's grown suddenly tired and might fall down to rest at any time. And inside its shell...
No one,
Ivan says.
That's why there aren't any guards,
says Potbelly.
He's with the army.
He's not,
Todd says, looking around, frowning.
Todd?
I ask, sensing something.
He told us himself to bring Todd here,
Ivan says.
Then where is he?
Asks Potbelly.
Oh, I'm here,
says the mayor, stepping out of a shadow that shouldn't have been able to hide him, almost seeming to step straight out of the brick, out of a shimmer where he couldn't be seen.
What the devil?
Says Potbelly, stepping back.
Not the devil,
the mayor says, taking his first steps down the rubble toward us, his hands open at his sides. The guards all raise their rifles at him. He doesn't even look like he's armed,
but here he comes.
No, not the devil, he says, smiling. Much worse than that.
Stop where you are, Todd says. There are men here who would happily shoot you.
I know it,
the mayor says, stopping on the bottom step of the cathedral entrance, resting one foot on a large stone toppled there.
Private Pharaoh, for example.
He nods at Ivan.
Still seething for being punished for his own incompetence.
You shut your mouth,
Ivan says, looking down the barrel of his rifle.
Don't look into his eyes, Todd says quickly. Nobody look into his eyes.
The mayor slowly puts his hands in the air.
Am I to be your prisoner, then?
He takes a look around at the soldiers, at all the guns pointed at him.
Ah, yes, I see, he says. You have a plan. Returning the cure to the people, capitalizing on their resentment to install yourselves in power, yes, very clever.
That ain't how it's gonna be, Todd says. You're gonna call off the army. You're gonna let everyone be free again.
The mayor puts a hand to his chin like he's thinking about it.
The thing is, Todd, he says, people don't really want freedom, no matter how much they might bleat on about it. No, I should think what will happen is that the army will crush the answer, that the soldiers accompanying you will be put to death for treason, and that you and I and Viola will have that little chat about your future I promised.
There's a loud snap as Ivan cocks his rifle.
You think so, do you? You're our prisoner, and that's the end of it,
Todd says, taking out a length of rope from Angharad's saddlebag.
We'll just have to see how the army reacts to that.
Very well, the mayor says, sounding almost cheerful. But I should send one of your men to the cellar so you can start taking the cure immediately. I can read all your plans perfectly clearly, and you wouldn't want that.
Potbelly looks back. Todd nods at him, and Potbelly jogs on up the steps past the mayor.
Just back and down, the mayor points. The way's quite clear.
Todd takes the rope and walks toward the mayor, moving past the guns pointed at him. My hands are sweating into the reins. It can't be this easy. It can't... The mayor holds out his wrists, and Todd hesitates, not wanting to actually get near him.
He tries anything funny,
Todd says, without looking back.
Shoot him.
Gladly, Ivan says.
Todd reaches forward and starts winding the rope around the mayor's wrists. We hear footsteps in the cathedral. Potbelly comes jogging back, out of breath, his noise a storm.
You said it was in the cellar, Lieutenant.
It is, Todd says.
I saw it there.
Potbelly shakes his head.
Empty. Completely empty.
Todd looks back at the mayor.
Then you moved it. Where is it?
Or what? The mayor says. You'll shoot me?
I'd actually prefer that option,
Ivan says.
Where did you move it?
Todd says again, his voice strong, angry. The mayor looks at him, then looks around at all the men, and finally looks up to me on horseback.
It was you I was worried about, he says. But you can hardly walk, can you?
Don't you look at her,
Todd spits, stepping closer to him.
You keep your filthy eyes off her.
The mayor smiles again, his hand still out, loosely bound by rope.
Very well, he says. I'll tell you.
He looks around at everyone again, still smiling.
I burned it, says the mayor. After the spackle sadly left us, there was no more need, and so I burned every last pill, every last plant that the pills were made from, and then I blew up the processing lab and blamed it on the answer.
There's a shocked silence. We can hear the roar of the army in the distance, marching up that hill, keeping on toward their goal.
You're a liar,
Ivan finally says, stepping forward, gun still raised.
And a stupid one at that. We can't hear your noise,
Todd says.
You can't have burned it all.
Ah, but Todd, my son, the mayor says, shaking his head. I have never taken the cure. Another silence. I hear suspicions rising in the noise of the men. I even see a few of them step back. Thoughts of the mayor's power. Thoughts of what he can do. Maybe he can control his noise. And if he can do that... He's lying, I say, remembering Mistress Coyle's words. He's the president of lies.
Well, at least you finally called me president, the mayor says.
Todd gives the mayor a shove.
Tell us where it is.
The mayor stumbles back a step, then regains his balance. He looks around at us all again. I can hear everyone's noise rising, Todd's most of all, red and loud.
I tell no lies, gentlemen, says the mayor. If you only have the right discipline, noise can be controlled. It can be silenced.
He looks around at each of us again, his smile reappearing.
It can be used. I am the circle, and the circle is me,
I hear. But I can't tell if it's from his noise or Todd's.
I've had just about enough of this,
Ivan shouts.
You know, Private Pharaoh, says the mayor. So have I.
And that's when he attacks.
39. Your own worst enemy. I feel the first strike of noise fly by me, a whooshing of concentrated words and sound and pictures rushing over my shoulder, straight for the men with rifles. I flinch away and dive for the ground, because the men start firing their guns. And I'm right in the way. Todd! I hear Viola shout, but the rifles are firing and the men are screaming, and I roll on the rubble, jarring my elbow, and whip round to see Corporal Potbelly on his knees in front of Angharad, his back turned, both hands on the sides of his head, screaming wordlessly down into the ground, Viola watching him, wondering what the hell is going on. Another guard has fallen on his back, fingers in his eyes, as if he's trying to dig them out, and a third lies unconscious on his stomach. Two others are already running back into the city. The noise flies from the mayor, louder and stronger than anything I've seen before. Way louder than at the office of the Ask. Loud enough to take out 5 men at once. Only Ivan still stands, one hand up to his ear and the other trying to aim his rifle at the mayor, but weaving it dangerously around. Bang! A bullet smacks the ground in front of my eyes, sending dust and dirt up into him. Bang! Another bounces off stones deep in the cathedral. Ivan! I shout, bang! Stop firing! You're gonna get us killed! Bang! His rifle goes off right by Angharad's head. She rears up and I see Viola grab the reins, surprised, holding on for dear life. And then I see the mayor is walking forward and forward and forward. His eyes on the men he's attacking, coming past me. And I don't even think. I leap from the ground to stop him, and he turns to send his noise straight at me. The world goes all bright, terribly, painfully bright, like everyone can see how much you hurt, everyone watching and laughing, and nowhere to hide, and you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing! All bound up tight, like a bullet right through you, telling you everything that's wrong with you, everything you ever done bad in your life, telling you you're worthless, you're dirt, you're nothing! Your life ain't got no point, nor reason, nor purpose, and you should just tear down the walls of yourself, ripping apart who you are, and either die or give it up as a gift to the one who can save you, as a gift to the man who can control you, who can take it all away, who can make everything fine, fine, fine. But not even noise can stop a body when it's moving. I feel all these things, and I'm still flying at him, and I still hit him, and I still knock him over on the steps of the cathedral. He grunts as the air is crushed out of him, and the noise attack stops for a second. Corporal Potbelly calls out and falls over, and Ivan's gasping for breath, and Viola's calling out, Todd! And then a hand is around my neck, and it's pushing my head up, and the mayor is looking right into my eyes. And this time, it hits me full blast. Give me the rifle! The mayor is shouting, standing over Ivan, who's crouched on the ground below him, hand over his ear again, but the rifle still pointed up at the mayor. Give it to me!
I blink, grit and dust in my eyes, wondering for a second where I am.
You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing! Give me the rifle, Private!
The mayor's screaming at Ivan, hitting him over and over again with noise blasts, and Ivan is sinking to the ground. But his rifle's still aimed.
Todd!
I see horse legs beside my head. Viola's still up on Angharad.
Todd, wake up!
She's yelling. I look up at her.
Thank God!
She yells, and her face is a picture of frustration.
My stupid feet! I can't get off the goddamn horse!
I'm okay,
I say, though I don't know if I am. And I lean myself up, my head spinning.
You're nothing! You're nothing! You're nothing! You're nothing!
Todd, what's going on?
Viola says as I grab a rein to help me stand.
I hear noise, but...
The rifle!
Shouts the mayor, stepping closer to Ivan.
Now!
We have to help him, I say, but I flinch back at the strongest attack yet. A flare of noise so white you can almost see the air bending twixt the mayor and Ivan. And Ivan grunts sharply and bites his tongue, blood spilling from his mouth, before he screams like a child and falls back, dropping the rifle, dropping it right into the mayor's hands. He lifts it, cocks it, and aims it at us in one fluid move. Ivan lies twitching on the ground.
What just happened?
Viola says, too angry it seems to care much about the rifle. I put my hands in the air, still holding the reins.
He can use noise,
I say, keeping my eyes on him. He can use it like a weapon.
Just so,
the mayor says, smiling again.
All I heard was shouting,
she says, looking at the men lying on the ground, still breathing, but out cold.
What do you mean, a weapon?
The truth, Viola, the mayor answers. The best weapon of all. You tell a man the truth about himself and, well,
he nudges Ivan with his boot. They find they have trouble accepting it. He frowns.
You can't kill him with it, though. He looks back up at us. Not yet, anyway.
But...
She's not believing this.
How? How can you...
I have two maxims that I believe, dear girl, the mayor says, coming slowly toward us. One, if you can control yourself, you can control others. Two, if you can control information, you can control others.
He grins, his eyes flashing.
It's been a philosophy that's worked out rather well for me.
I think about Mr. Hammer. About Mr. Collins, about the chanting I used to hear coming from the mayor's house back in my old town.
You taught the others,
I say.
The men from Prentistown. You taught them how to control their noise.
With varying degrees of success, he says. But yes, none of my officers has ever taken the cure. Why should they? It's a weakness to have to rely on a drug.
He's nearly on us now.
I am the circle, and the circle is me, I say.
Yes. You were certainly making an impressive beginning, weren't you, Todd? Controlling yourself while you did the most unspeakable things to those women.
My noise turns red.
You shut up about that,
I say.
I was only doing what you told me.
I was only following orders, the mayor mocks. The refuge of scoundrels since the dawn of time. He stops 6 feet away from us, rifle pointed firmly at my chest.
Help her off the horse, please, Todd.
What?
I say. Her ankles, I believe the problem was. She'll need your help walking.
I still have the reins in my hand. I have a thought I try to bury.
Boy Colt?
Angharad asks.
I assure you, Viola, the mayor says to her. If you think about running on that beautiful animal... I will put more than one bullet through Todd.
He looks back at me, however much pain it might cause me.
You let her go, I say. I'll do anything you want.
Now where have I heard that before? He says. Help her down.
I hesitate, wondering if I should slap Angharad's flanks anyway, wondering if I should send Viola riding off into the distance, wondering if I could get her safe.
No, Viola says. And she's already working her leg round the saddle.
Not a chance.
I'm not leaving you. I take her arms and help her down. She has to lean on me to stand. but I keep her up. Splendid, says the mayor. Now let's go inside and have that chat. Let us start with what I know. He's brought us into what used to be the room with the round colored glass window in it, but it's now open to the air on two sides and above. The window's still there, looking down, but looking down on rubble. Looking down on a little cleared area with a broken table and two chairs, where me and Viola sit. I know, for example, the mayor says, that you did not kill Aaron, Todd, that you never took your final step toward becoming a man, that it was Viola here who put the blade in all along. Viola takes my arm and squeezes it tight, letting me know it's okay that he knows. I know that Viola told you the answer were hiding at the ocean when I let you escape to go speak with her. My noise rises in anger and embarrassment. Viola squeezes my arm harder. I know that you've sent the boy called Lee to warn the answer. He leans against the broken table. And of course, I also know the exact time and place of their attack. You're a monster, I say. No, the mayor says. Just a leader. Just a leader who can read every thought you have about yourself, about Viola, about me, about this town, about the secrets you think you're keeping. I can read everything, Todd. You're not listening to what I'm saying. He's still holding the rifle, watching us sit before him. I knew everything about the Answers attack this morning, before you even opened your mouth. I sit up in my chair. You what? I had the army gathering before we even started asking Viola. I start to rise. You tortured her for nothing? Sit down, the mayor says, and a little flash from him weakens my knees enough that I sit right back down. Not for nothing, Todd. You should know me well enough by now to know that I do not do anything for nothing. He sits up from the broken table, showing again that he likes to walk and talk. You are completely transparent to me, Todd. From our first proper meeting here in this very room until how you sit before me today, I've known everything. Always. He looks at Viola. Unlike your good friend here, who's a little tougher than I imagined. Viola frowns. If she had noise, I'm sure she'd be slapping him around a bit. I get a thought. Don't try it, the mayor says. You're not nearly that advanced yet. Even Captain Hammer has yet to master it. You'd merely end up hurting yourself very badly. He looks at me again. But you could learn, Todd. You could advance far, further than any of those poor imbeciles who followed me from Prentistown. Poor Mr. Collins, barely worth more than a butler, and Captain Hammer, just another garden-variety sadist. But you, Todd, you, his eyes flash, you could lead armies. I don't want to lead armies, I say. He smiles. You may have no choice. There's always a choice, Viola says by my side. Oh, people like to say that, the mayor says. It makes them feel better. He approaches me, looking into my eyes. But I've been watching you, Todd. The boy who can't kill another man. The boy who'd risk his own life to save his beloved Viola. The boy who felt so guilty at the horrible things he was doing that he tried to shut off all feeling. The boy who still felt every pain, every twitch of hurt he saw on the face of the women he banded. He leans down closer to my face. The boy who refused to lose his soul. I feel him. He's in my noise now, rummaging around, turning things over, upending the room inside my head. I've done bad things, I say, and I don't even mean to say it. But you suffer for them, Todd. His voice is softer now, almost tender. You're your own worst enemy, punishing yourself far more than I could ever hope to. Men have noise, and the way they handle it is to make themselves just a little bit dead, but you, even when you want to, you can't. More than any man I've ever met, Todd, you feel. Shut up, I say, trying to look away, not being able to. But that makes you powerful, Todd Hewitt. In this world of numbness and information overload, the ability to feel, my boy, is a rare gift indeed. I put my hands to my ears, but I can still hear him in my head. You're the one I couldn't break, Todd. The one who wouldn't fall. The one who stays innocent, no matter the blood on his hands. The one who still calls me mayor in his noise.
I'm not innocent,
I shout, my ears still plugged. You could rule by my side. You could be my second in command. And when you learn to control your noise, you may have power to overtake even mine. And then the words thunder through my whole body. I am the circle, and the circle is me.
Stop it!
I hear Viola shout, but it's from miles away. The mayor puts a hand on my shoulder. You could be my son, Todd Hewitt, he says. My real and true heir. I've always wanted one that wasn't...
Pa?
We all hear, cutting through everything like a bullet through fog. The noise in my head stops. The mayor steps abruptly back. I feel like I'm able to breathe again. Davy stands behind us, his rifle in one hand. He's led Deadfall up to the steps and is looking over the rubble to the three of us here.
What's going on? Who are the men out there on the ground?
What are you doing here? The mayor snaps, frowning. Is the battle already won?
No, Pa, Davy says, climbing over the rubble toward us. It was a trick.
He plants his feet next to my chair.
Hey, Todd,
he says, nodding in greeting. He glances at Viola, but he can't hold her eye.
What was a trick?
The mayor demands, but he's already looking angry.
The answer ain't coming over the hill, Davy says. We marched way back deep into the forest, but there ain't no sign. Not nowhere.
I hear Viola take a little gasp, a bit of pleased surprise escaping from her even as she tries to hold it back. The mayor looks her way, his eyes fierce, his face thinking and thinking, and he raises his rifle at her. Something you'd like to tell us, Viola?
40. Nothing changes. Everything changes. Todd's already up and out of his chair, standing between me and the mayor, his noise raging so loud and furious the mayor takes a step back.
You see the power in you, my boy? He says. This is why you watched her being asked. Your suffering makes you strong. I'll teach you how to harness it, and together we'll...
You hurt her, Todd says, clearly and slowly. And I'll tear every limb from your body. The mayor smiles.
I believe you.
He hoists the rifle.
Nevertheless.
Todd, I say. He turns to me.
This is how he wins. Playing us off each other, just like you said. Well, it stops here.
Todd, I'm trying to stand up, but my stupid ankles won't hold me and I stumble. Todd reaches for me. But it's Davy. Davy catches me by the arm, stopping the fall and then lowering me back into the chair. He won't meet my eye. Or Todd's. Or his father's. His noise flushes yellow with embarrassment as he lets me go and steps back.
Why, thank you, David,
the mayor says, unable to mask his surprise.
Now, he says, turning back to me, if you would please be so kind as to inform me of the answer's real plan of attack.
Don't tell him nothing, Todd says.
I don't know anything, I say. Lee must have reached...
There wasn't sufficient time, and you know it, the mayor says. It's obvious what happened, isn't it, Viola? Your mistress misled you once more. If the bomb went off as it should have, it wouldn't have mattered if you had the wrong information, because you and, she hoped, I, would be dead. But if you were caught, well then. The best liar is the one who believes her lie is true.
I don't say anything, because how could she have misled me if it was only something Lee overheard? But then I think, She wanted him to overhear it. She knew he wouldn't be able to not tell me.
Her plan worked perfectly, didn't it, Viola?
The shadow from the setting sun reaches the mayor's face, covering him in black.
One twist after another. Lies building on lies. She played you exactly how she wanted, didn't she?
I glare at him. She'll beat you, I say. She's as ruthless as you are.
He grins. Oh, more, I should say.
Pa?
Davy asks. The mayor blinks, like he forgot his son was there.
Yes, David.
The army?
Davy's noise is full of bewilderment and exasperation, trying to make sense of what his father's doing, but not finding much relief.
What are we supposed to do now? Where are we supposed to go? Captain Hammer's waiting for your orders.
All around us, the low, frightened roar of New Prentice Town seeps out of the houses, but still no faces at the windows. And from over the hill with the notch, the blacker, twistier buzz of the army. You can still see them up the hillside, shiny like a trail of black beetles sliding off one another's shells. And here we sit, alone with the mayor and his son, in the open ruins of the cathedral, like we're the only people on the planet. The mayor looks back at me.
Yes, Viola, tell us. What are we supposed to do now?
You're supposed to fall, I say, staring back at him, not blinking. You're supposed to lose. He smiles at me.
Where are they coming from, Viola? You're a clever girl. You must have heard something, seen some clue as to her real plans.
She ain't telling you,
Todd says. I can't, I say, because I don't know. And I'm thinking, I really don't know. Unless the thing she told me about the East Road.
I'm waiting, Viola.
The mayor raises the rifle at Todd's head.
On pain of his life.
Pa?
Davy says, shock coming out of his noise.
What are you doing?
Never you mind, David. Get back on your horse. I'll have a message for you to take to Captain Hammer presently.
You're pointing the gun at Todd, Pa.
Todd turns around to look at him. So do I. So does the mayor.
You ain't gonna shoot him,
Davy says.
You can't.
Davy's cheeks are red now, so dark you can even see them in the sunset.
You said he's your second son.
There's an uncomfortable silence as Davy tries to hide his noise.
You see what I mean by power, Todd? The mayor says. Look at how you've influenced my son. You've already got yourself a follower.
Davy looks at me, right in the eyes.
Tell him where they are.
There's worry all over his noise, anxiety at how things are playing out.
Come on, just tell him.
I look back at Todd. He's looking at Davy's rifle.
Yes, Viola, tell me, why don't you?
The mayor says.
Your best speculation. Are they coming from the west?
He looks up toward the falls, the highest point on the horizon, where the sun's disappearing behind the zigzag road carved down the hill I've only been down once and never gone back up. The mayor turns.
The north, perhaps, though they'd have to cross the river somehow? Or a hill to the east? Yes, maybe even over the hill where your mistress blew up the tower and any chance you had of communicating with your people.
I clench my teeth again.
Still loyal after all that?
I don't say anything.
We could send out troops, Pa,
Davy says.
To different parts. They gotta come from somewhere.
The mayor waits for a minute, staring us down. He finally turns to Davy and says,
Go tell Captain Hammer.
He's interrupted by a distant boom.
That's due east, Davy says, as we all look up, even though there's a wall of the cathedral in the way. It is east. It's exactly the road she told me it was going to be. She made me think the truth was a lie, and a lie was the truth. If I get out of this, we're going to have words, her and me. The office of the Ask, the mayor says. Of course. Where else would they... He stops again, cocking his head, listening out. We hear it several seconds after he does. The noise of someone running at full speed toward the cathedral from the back, up the road we took to get here, around the side of the cathedral and up to the front, coming upon us, gasping. It's the red-haired guard, the one who fled. He's obviously barely registering who he's seeing as he stumbles into the wreckage of the building. They're coming! He shouts. The answer's coming! There's a burst of noise from the mayor, and the red-haired soldier falls back, catching himself. Calm down, Private, the mayor says, his voice slinky, snake-like. Tell us clearly. The guard pants, seemingly unable to catch his breath. They've taken the office of the Ask. He looks up at the mayor, caught by his eyes. They killed all the guards. Of course they did, the mayor says, still holding the red-haired soldier's gaze. How many are there? 200. The red-haired soldier isn't blinking now. But they're releasing the prisoners. Weapons? Asks the mayor. Rifles. Tracers. Launchers. Siege guns on the backs of carts. Still the stare. How goes the battle? They're fighting fierce. The mayor cocks an eyebrow, still staring at him. They're fighting fierce, sir, the guard says, still not blinking, like he couldn't look away from the mayor if he tried. There's another boom in the distance, and everyone except the mayor and the soldier flinches. They're coming for war, sir, says the soldier. The mayor keeps the stare. Then you should be trying to stop them, shouldn't you? Sir? You should be taking your rifle and preventing the answer from destroying your town. The soldier looks confused, but he's still not blinking. I should... You should be on the front line, soldier. This is our hour of need. This is our hour of need. The soldier mumbles, like he's not hearing himself. Pa? Davy says, but the mayor ignores him. What are you waiting for, soldier? The mayor says. It's time to fight. It's time to fight, says the guard. Go! The mayor suddenly barks, and the red-haired guard springs away, back down the road toward the answer, his rifle up, yelling incoherently, running back to the answer as fast as he ran away from them. We watch him go in stunned silence. The mayor sees Todd staring at him, mouth agape. Yes, dear boy. Better at that, too. You as good as killed him, I say. Whatever you did... What I did was make him see his duty, the mayor says. No more, no less. Now, as fascinating as this discussion is, we're going to have to settle it later. I'm afraid I'm going to have Davy tie you both up. Pa? Davy says again, startled. The mayor looks at him. Then you'll ride to Captain Hammer. Tell him to bring the army down the road with all speed and fury. The mayor casts his eyes to the far hillside where the army waits. It's time we brought this to an end. I can't tie him up, Pa. It's Todd. The mayor doesn't look at him. I've had just about enough of this, David. When I give you a direct order... Boom! He stops and we all look up. Because it's different this time. A different kind of sound. We hear a low whoosh and a rumble starts to fill the air, getting louder as the seconds pass. Todd looks at me, confused. I just shrug. Nothing I ever heard before.
The roar starts to get louder, filling the darkening sky.
That don't sound like no bomb,
Davy says. The mayor looks at me. Viola, is there... He stops and then turns his head, and we all realize it's not coming from the east.
Over there,
Davy points, raising his hand toward the falls, toward where the sky is bright pink with sunset. The mayor looks at me again. That's too loud for a simple tracer. His face tightens. Have they got missiles? He takes a step so big he's almost on top of me.
Have they built missiles? You back off!
Todd yells, trying to get between us again.
I will know what this is, Viola,
the mayor says.
You will tell me.
I don't know what it is, I say. Todd's shouting and threatening.
You lay a finger on her. It's getting louder,
Davy shouts, putting his hands to his ears. We all turn and watch the western horizon, watch as a dot rises, getting lost in the last of the sun before reappearing, growing larger as it comes straight for the city.
Viola!
The mayor shouts through clenched teeth, sending some noise at me, but I don't feel whatever it is that men feel.
I don't know!
I yell. And then Davy, who hasn't stopped watching it, says,
It's a ship.
41. The moment of Davy Prentice. It's a ship. It's a ruddy ship. Your people, I say to Viola. But she's shaking her head, though not to say no, just staring at it as it rises over the falls. Too small for a settler ship, Davy says. And too early, the mayor says, aiming his rifle at it as if he could shoot it from this distance. They're not due for another 2 months at least. But Viola still ain't looking like she can hear any of this, hope rising on her face so painful it hurts my heart just to see it. A scout, she whispers, so quiet I'm the only one who hears it. Another scout. Sent to look for me. I turn back to the ship. It clears the crest of the falls, soaring out over the river. A scout ship, just like the one she crashed in back in the swamp, killing her parents and stranding her here all those months and lifetimes ago. It still looks as big as a house, stubby wings looking too short to keep it in the air, flames coming out of the tail end as it flies, flies, flies down the river, using it as a road hundreds of feet below. We watch it come. David, the mayor says, his eyes still on it. Get my horse. But Davy's got his face up to the sky, his noise opening up in wonder and amazement. And I know exactly how he feels. Nothing flies on New World except the birds. We got machines that go down the roads, fission bikes, a few fission cars, but mainly we just got horses and oxes and carts and our feet. We don't got wings. The ship comes down the river, nearing the cathedral and flying almost right over us, not stopping, so close you can see lights on the underside and the sky above the exhaust shimmering with the heat. It flies right on past down the river, down east toward the answer. David, the mayor says sharply. Help me up, Viola whispers. I have to get to them. I have to go. And her eyes are wild. And her breath is heavy, and she's staring at me so hard it's like a solid thing I can feel. Oh, he'll help you up, the mayor says, pointing the gun. Because you're coming with me.
What?
Viola says. They're your people, Viola, the mayor says. They're going to be wondering where you are. I can either bring you to them right away,